This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. Welcome to Access All Areas. Yes, we are live on FUBAR Radio, and I am Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Carlin.
How are you, Miss Ellen?
I'm great, honey. How are you?
Really good, thank you. We'll have a little catch-up in a minute, but I'm going to intro the show and let this lovely lot know what's in store today now. As you know, me and Ellen, we're always bringing you the tea, we're bringing you the goss, everything showbiz, what's been going on in the last 7 days. And this week is no different. So we've got a jam-packed show this evening, and we are going to be joined by Britain's Got Talent star, Tom Ball. And we've got a little game at the end of the show. We've got a bumper episode of Showbiz News.
Oh, lots and lots to go through.
I'm so excited. Well, yes. Miss Ellen, you're going all... I was going to say bilingual. That isn't it. That means two languages, doesn't it?
Yes.
You're going by job, you all.
I am. I'm taking over Showbiz Reporter as well today. Back to my roots.
It's the Lord's work.
It is. Someone has to do it.
She's doubling up. She's wearing two hats today.
And I love it because there's so much showbiz stories going around this week. So perfect week for it. The biggest thing that I've seen, and I'm absolutely bawling, throwing up and dying, Eamon Holmes and Ruth Langsford have split after 14 years of marriage. Have you seen this?
Literally so upset about
it. I know, same.
Just didn't see it coming.
No.
They are, you know, like you've got your Richard and Judy and, and Dick. Their names just roll off the tongue together. Eamon and Ruth.
Yeah.
And I almost felt like they would always be together.
Yeah, it's like Richard and Judy. It's like Ant and Dec. It's like they're a duo.
Yeah.
But as well, I always thought that they were like a really secure marriage. Like I thought, do you know, the minute I heard this, I was thinking, oh, well, do you know, there's no hope then for actual solid relationships. Because these two just seemed like... just a perfect match.
Yeah, so sad.
So sad.
And both of them have always been lovely. The times back when they used to do This Morning Together on a Friday, whenever I was in the studio on a Friday, always loved them. Like, they was always so lovely. We'd always come to the dressing room, say hello. Always just such lovely people.
Yeah.
And I've done a couple, done a couple of jobs with Eamon away from This Morning, like a couple of shows I've hosted, and he'd come on as a guest. Mm. And I'd also, do you remember that back in the million years ago, back in the 54 lockdowns that we had, I used to do this thing called Get Gobby with Bobby. Basically, like so many people, just everyone's diary cleared overnight. And it was only so much Homes Under the Hammer I could watch. I'd binge Netflix. And so basically, long story short, I did this thing, Get Gobby with Bobby. And every night I would just interview one of my celeb mates on an Instagram Live.
Love it.
Because basically, just having a chat with people, because we couldn't leave the house. The only place I was going to Sainsbury's, do you know. But that was the highlight of my day. And my hour allowed out the house. But anyway, digressing. So basically, I don't know how I'd got into that. Oh yeah, Eamon. So he'd come on and I'd interviewed him on one of my Get Gobby with Bobbies, and just such a lovely man. I mean, he didn't need to come on and do that. Do you know what I mean?
That is so nice. Did you ask him about Ruth in that interview?
I mean, I can't remember I'm sure there's no way I would have spoke to Eamon about not. But such a lovely man. And do you know, he's got so much time for everyone.
Yeah.
And Ruth as well. So, so lovely. It's really, really sad about that.
And people are speculating that they were probably broken up since 2022. So that's like 2 years. But they've just kept it out of the spotlight. Now, people are thinking this because they haven't posted together. Even though they're both very active on their individual Instagram accounts, they both haven't posted anything together since 2022. And the last time they were seen together was also in July 2022 at some award ceremony. So that was the last time they've actually been pictured
publicly. Oh, so they've never been papped together since then?
No. So it's almost like they've been living separate lives. And he started the GB News thing. Now, I don't know if this has anything to do with it. I know his co-host on GB News is married as well, and she looks happily married. But I was thinking, would that make me a bit jealous, having, you know, seeing your husband with a new gorgeous anchor, who's he beside every day, all day, and then would it drive a wedge? I don't know. Like, it's a speculation.
And is that all similar timing? So 2022, what are we, 24 now? So rolling back 2 years.
Yeah.
So is this, had they both left This Morning by this point and he just joined GB News, or was this part of Do we know where we're at time frame wise?
I think this was around the time he started this new heading, like he started heading this new show for GB News.
So maybe this is shortly after the This Morning thing
then. Yeah, like I don't know. I'm just wondering, could have that played a factor? Maybe it was a small part, maybe it was no part at all. But it was just interesting that that was my first thought when I saw his new gorgeous, glamorous anchor. And I was like, oh, they're going to be waking up together every day. Like, you know how close you get when you like host a show together.
Absolutely.
Me and you, we got close.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, no, we haven't slept together yet, Bobby.
No, but yeah. I love that she froze in. Yeah, the girl's confident.
It's still early days.
It's still, I mean, fuck, anything can happen. I love that. No, once a journo, always a journo. That you're working out time frame, and I mean, yeah, that's a journalist mind.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So Colleen Rooney ain't got nothing on you.
Watch this space. Another thing as well, Ruth was wearing her wedding ring today. Out and about, she was papped. She was seen wearing it. But I don't know if I'd read too much into that because I think I would wear... Oh, I'm not wearing mine now. I just glanced at my hand, awkward.
Because yeah, you want to sleep with me.
All my secrets have just been given away. But I take it off for the gym. I just forgot to put it back on. Okay, Alan.
She's safe with me, Alan. Don't worry. She keeps trying it with me, mate, but I keep telling her no.
Yeah, he keeps batting me off.
But also, I think that's a respect thing, I think, as well. Because I think that's been pointed out. I think Eamon's still wearing his.
Yeah.
But like you said, I think, A, it's a respect thing. Mm. But also, especially as a girl, I mean, I know some men do have them. But men's typically are just more bands.
Yeah.
I know some gay men's aren't. I'm sure some straight men's aren't. But... Mm. If I was a girl and it was a lovely diamond, just saying, probably not going to take it off.
Yeah,
because
I know.
Bitch loves a diamond. You know what I'm saying? So for me to take it off.
100%. And also, how weird would it feel just being naked on that finger? Like, I'm pretty sure after 14 years of wearing it, like, it would feel weird taking it off. So, like, I'd imagine that will come with time.
And I guess also, I mean, I joke. I mean, I do love a diamond. I haven't got one. My hand's still very much like, no one's bought me one yet. still waiting. But I guess it all depends very much on how a relationship breaks up. And if I ever was married, look, I've married myself off in the last 15 seconds and now I'm talking divorce. Fucking hell. it's like the 72-hour Britney wedding. So I think that I would, regardless, I would always eventually take it off. It depends also, I think, very much on what the breakup was.
Yeah.
If someone's done you really bad,
yeah,
I mean, I'd have no qualms in taking it off.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that I'm throwing it into the Thames,
yeah,
a diamond.
No,
I mean, bitch ain't silly. Let's have it right. But would I wear it and want to look at something from a geezer that's done me bad?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But also, they have a child together.
Just in case anyone's misconstrued, we're not saying that that's happened between Eamon and Ruth.
No.
We're just talking in general.
Yes.
Would you keep your diamond or not? I don't think for one second, obviously, that we ain't putting the two and two together.
I feel like she'll keep it regardless because it would be passed down heirloom. But then wearing it is another thing. I do feel like it's probably too soon. Like, the news just broke, even though if they have been, like, split up for 2 years, I don't know. But the news broke, so it does feel quite raw at the moment. So maybe each step at a time.
Yeah, and I don't know. Get in touch, people. I don't know, but... When you're going,
if you're listening, hon, come on the show because we want to hear all the gossip.
Come into the studio. I'm interested to know, actually, now we're talking about it, it's a whole conversation on its own. It's a topic. Mm. When you have a breakup and you're filing, when does the ring come off? Is it when you say, like, we're done here? Or is it the day the divorce is finalised? Again, this isn't, like, to do with Eamon and Ruth. We've progressed.
We've moved on.
This is just general now.
Yeah.
But do you take it off the day that you've kind of gone, that's it.
Mm.
Pack your bags and do one, get an Uber. Or is it the day you get a letter come? What do you get? You get something comes through. What's it called?
I don't know. Cease and desist. Is it? Or is that when you sue someone for something? When you get served your papers,
cease and desist. I think, you hear a lot of American reality TVs talk about cease and desist. But anyway, we're going to move on to our next story. But folks are with Eamon and Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And love you both. So, Yeah, sad times.
Sad times. And also, Giovanni is back in the papers again today. Apparently, the Sun are saying that he took a very nasty swipe at Strictly star Amanda Abington.
Oh.
Because there's obviously the ongoing bullying investigation that was going on there. She complained to the BBC about how she was treated during her time at Strictly with him. But they're currently investigating that, and they haven't actually said anything. They actually released a statement about 4 to 5 minutes ago, but the BBC didn't read. They weren't very clear. They were very vague. They were just saying, as an ongoing investigation, we're not going to speculate. We're not going to talk. And don't believe what's been in the media is what BBC have just released. But the Sun is saying that Giovanni gave a nasty swipe towards Amanda. But actually, when you read the full article... He didn't. He just liked a nasty swipe towards Amanda. So he posted a lovely...
Spill the tea.
He posted a lovely summer holiday snap with his girlfriend. And underneath the comments were all going crazy, as they do, all about this controversy. And one of his fans wrote this big, long message, basically blaming Amanda for the whole thing, saying, just because you were paired with somebody who has, like, not a strong mental capacity, her mental health was the problem, not you. If she can't handle Strictly, then she shouldn't have been put on the show, and it's just unfortunate that you were matched with her, whatever. He liked that. So that was the only one that he liked. So everyone was like, oh, he must think the same. Now, his finger could have slipped. Who knows?
Easy done.
Maybe he was just scrolling down to see the rest.
And accidentally just hit that one by accident.
Oops. Like,
it can be done.
It can happen. So we're not saying
so
anything.
What have you heard? And obviously we're going to tread very carefully, all allegedly, of course. What's word on the street? What are you hearing in journo land about this kind of situation?
In journo land, all I would say is there's no smoke without a fire.
Okay.
I feel like when these kind of things start to filter out, you've seen it before with other scandals that have come out in the media. It starts quite small, and then it becomes like a little more smoke until there's a little flame, and then there's a whole fire.
Yeah.
So right now we're just filling the room with smoke.
Yeah, it's a smoke out. Nothing, as far as from what I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, babe, has anyone come out and physically given comment or statement yet? Because it's been alluded to that a few other past contestants are getting... Something's happening in a situation. You'll know more than me.
Yeah, so two other female contestants have also complained him to the BBC.
To the BBC as well.
Previously.
Okay. So this isn't in light of what's happened. This was prior.
As far as I remember, Laura Whitmore was with him, I think it was 2016, but I could be corrected on that. And she had complained after, but it just didn't make the news. It didn't make the media. It didn't make anything. And then, but she had lodged a complaint at that time.
Okay.
And then it wasn't until years later when she spoke about it in an interview that it resurfaced. And then people knew that she had actually lodged a complaint. And I think she reached out to Amanda after she came forward, and they spoke privately about that. And there's another female who also has come out since, but I don't know who that is, and I don't think we know.
And Giovanni he's not addressed anything head on. He's not really given an interview as such, is he?
He released a statement last week saying that they were all allegations and they were not true, and that he's just a hard worker, and some people don't mind that style of training, and other people find it, you know, traumatising or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was said that he stood down from Strictly, but I couldn't find anywhere where he said he stood down from Strictly. So apparently the papers had just said that based off of his tweet, because it looked like a goodbye tweet, but actually he didn't say that directly at all.
So we could see him waltzing around the ballroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Later this year.
We could, but I don't know if it's in BBC's best interest. Even if he's cleared of all wrongdoing, still there's so much controversy around him. Other shows have now dropped him as well, just based on the controversy. Now, I shouldn't say actually dropped him, because what they did is he has a travel show as well with Anton Dubek.
Oh, right.
That's been postponed.
Okay.
So amid the controversy. That was the line they gave, postponed amid the controversy. So it's not cancelled. He hasn't been dropped from it, but They're going to hold fire.
So pending, yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants to promote a show with somebody who's embroiled in controversy, I suppose.
So I guess this certainly isn't going to be the last week this is making headlines anytime soon. I'm sure it's going to be something we're talking about for the next few weeks/months. Yeah.
We'll have to come up with a name
You never know. What else, Miss Ellen? What's caught your eye?
Well, this has definitely caught my eye because this has been the funniest thing that I've seen on social media in a while. I actually stumbled upon this live that Nicki Minaj was doing during the week. I think it was Saturday. She was on her way to Manchester via Amsterdam.
Okay.
And she was stopped in Amsterdam airport and she was afraid she wasn't going to get on the flight. She was going to miss the concert or whatever. So she started live streaming what was happening. She was blaming the police at the airport, saying that they were stopping her because she was rude or something like that. It turns out she had soft drugs, is what they're calling it, in her suitcase. So they searched her suitcase, found soft drugs, which I think is hash, which is actually legal in Amsterdam. So she wouldn't have been doing anything wrong there, but it's illegal to bring it to another country. And she said that she didn't have any drugs in her bag. Later on, she said that maybe her security team had put it in there. Great security team, right? they're meant to make her life easier. They're just planting drugs on her. But that's all allegedly, of course. we have to tread very lightly here. Yeah. But she was arrested. It was a drug arrest. And anyway, they let her go with a fine because it was a small amount of it. And like I said, it was legal in that country. She just wasn't allowed to bring it to England.
So she's streaming live on what, like an Instagram live or something?
Yeah. She was in a blacked out car and there's this very dapper looking man for an airport, but he was airport staff and in a suit, and he's explaining to her what the hold up is, and she's like, what's going on, give me my bags, they're doing everything to not make me make this concert, give me my bags, and they're like, there's been an incident, we can't take your bags. And then one of the guys says something along the lines of, I think they're holding your bags because you were filming them when they were searching them and they didn't like that, they thought it was shady, like, you know,
so it's,
it looked bad.
It's flagged up on the radar.
Flagged up on the radar. So now we're going to do a deep search into your luggage. And they did find...
And the search was deep.
Something, yeah. Deep. Soft drugs.
So, long story short, she's had to cancel the Manchester gig.
Yeah.
What's the latest of that? Because I know I've seen on social, there was a lot of upset fans.
Yeah.
That obviously had... taken time off, that had travelled from all around the country, I guess all around the world.
Yeah.
Booked hotels, trains, as we know nowadays, with the cost of living crisis and everything like that.
Yeah.
It's tough times out there.
So much money.
And it don't come cheap to go to a concert.
No.
Whether you're having a day off work, the train, the hotel.
Yeah.
What's being said?
Okay, so basically Co-op Live has kind of got it in the ear mostly because... the fans arrived to the show on time. They were left queuing outside. Nicki Minaj was live streaming her arrest.
at the same time they're queuing to get in the venue.
At 5 p.m. Her concert was due to go on, I think, at 8:30. But she was live streaming her arrest at Amsterdam Airport at 5 p.m. And fans were still told to queue. They said that the show would be postponed or delayed. I don't know how they thought. Maybe teleport? Like, I don't know how they thought they were going to fix it. But Co-op Live have been embroiled in so much controversy since they opened because they had to cancel like 3 gigs.
Because it took a while to even get opened, didn't it?
But like all these concerts... beforehand were apparently going to get like going ahead, all these people queued, they were left into the venue, then they got cancelled at the very last minute, leaving everyone devastated, and like you said, loss of money and everything. So that happened 3 times in a row, so like this place is cursed. Anyway, they let all the Nicki Minaj fans go in and take their seats, and they sat there for 3 hours in the stadium wondering what was going on. There was rumours, people were going on TikTok asking what the problem is, and then eventually...
And was no one in... people are only going to go by what they're being told, and quite rightly so. It's not for people to second guess what the venue's saying.
Yeah.
But has anyone come out and said, we did think it was weird? Because I'm guessing if you're going to someone's concert and you're a fan, you're going to be looking at their socials to see if they're on their way or what they're posting or if there's a little behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Is no one going, well, hold on a minute. Yeah. She's still in Amsterdam.
Yeah. Literally, yeah. Everyone was saying that. And that's why people were getting up in arms about it. They were annoyed because they were like, why aren't they telling us what to do? But I suppose there's so much red tape and stuff before you cancel a show. Maybe it just took time for all the organisers to get in contact with her people to just confirm for sure that she's not going to make it.
Yeah.
Because maybe they did think, OK, if she is a private jet, she probably could get here. Amsterdam to Manchester. What would that be?
Well, I think I think from Stansted, I think it's about a 50-minute flight. I don't know if it's a closer to Manchester, regardless, I don't think it's over than an hour, but I think, Essex to Amsterdam's about 50 minutes.
So maybe they were trying to get things in place where if she did get on the flight, she would be there in 50 minutes and they could have a helicopter waiting to bring her straight to the
stadium. It could have happened.
She could have got ready on the flight and just went straight on stage. But maybe that's what they were trying to make happen.
Yeah.
But they waited until, I think, 9:30 to call it off.
And also, it's never the star's fault. I'm sure a lot of us have been in them situations where, back in the day, I don't even know if it's a thing as much now, but when you used to have travel reps on holiday and you'd get dumped at an airport and they'd do a runner because they knew the plane was delayed or it hadn't even left Stansted or Gatwick yet.
Yeah.
And no one wants to be the bearer of bad news. And sometimes you're begging, like, look, just be honest. Yeah. Is the plane coming? How long is it going to be? We don't know yet. Or it's on its way. And then there's people saying, no, it's still on the tarmac at Stansted. No one wants to be the bearer of bad news.
Totally.
And you don't want to. It's not the person's fault who's delivering the bad news. But sometimes I'm a big believer in, as shit as the news is, just be up front. Tell 100%. It straight. I want the truth.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? I want the truth, no chaser.
Totally. I think most people are like that, Bobby, because I actually did see a video circulating online a couple of days ago, and it was basically this pilot. Everybody had been waiting 2 hours for this flight to arrive. It was delayed. It was in the US. And anyway, everybody hopped on the flight and he was he was uncertain about something. He wanted something checked on the plane, and he was
that's never what I want to be. He was a nervous passenger.
Exactly. And he was like, I don't feel comfortable until we get this checked. He waited an extra hour on the tarmac to get it done, but he was very honest. So somebody recorded him coming over the intercom telling the plane, and he goes, guys, this is what's happening. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I know people are going to be upset and mad, but your safety is the utmost importance to me. I'm not comfortable taking off as the pilot. I want this checked. They're not coming to check it. So I'm going to ask you all to get off the flight. I'm sorry, but your lives are like more important than this flight.
That's the kind of pilot I want.
That's what you want?
I know some people are going to be pissed off at the back. They're like, well, let's just take a risk.
No,
John.
No.
We ain't taking a risk. Sorry, mate.
Yeah.
I'll happily sit on this runway for 4 hours if I need to. Safety's paramount. You ain't messing about with planes.
No, and he was praised for that. In the comments, everyone was like, yes, this is the kind of pilots we need. And even the people on the flight were like applauding him, and they all got off happily. Nobody complained.
No,
and
what's there to complain about?
But that's the key. Just be honest.
Yes. Absolutely.
Stupid.
That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't lie, people. Tell the truth. another showbiz story, Miss Ellen?
Oh, yeah. This one is quite funny, actually. So it was Mel B's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Mel.
Happy birthday, Mel. I suppose it still is. I don't know why I've done past tense. Jerry Halliwell went to give her an old happy birthday post, and she actually just completely messed it up. So,
how'd you mess up an happy birthday post?
I know, one would think, how could you mess up a happy birthday post? She basically wrote the post, then copied it, sent the photographs to her lovely assistant, I suppose, Pippa, and sent it to Pippa. Pippa obviously done a copy and paste job and posted it online, and there was directions for Pippa on the post. So it said, feel free to tweak, Pippa. Please include these pictures as well.
No.
And she included that in the caption with the lovely. And you know what? It's so funny. You'd swear that it was such a long-winded, heartfelt post. It said, happy birthday. Have a great day.
So what are you tweaking?
What are you tweaking?
Do you know what I mean?
People in the comments were like joking, going, Pippa, if you want to make it more sentimental,
if you want to personalise it a bit, babe.
Yeah, Pippa, just add a bit of zhuzh to it.
A few people have been caught out by that, especially not when they're doing ads and sponsored posts and things, and clearly they've copied and posted and it's either the brand has put something in the caption and they've not cut that out, or it's come from their agent or their management team.
Yeah. I love seeing stuff like that online. It's
so funny. And it gets pulled down quick. It depends how quick someone is on the ball and then pulls it down. But I'm guessing Jerry didn't get... But again, to be fair, so I'm guessing Jerry never just... She's said, this is what I want, or these are the pictures.
But wouldn't
Pippa didn't see it to pull it down in time.
She didn't. She left it up for quite a while. Enough for all the fans to just go mad.
But then it gets to a point where you think, fucking hell, Pip, leave it up. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it almost makes it a bit more iconic. And it's got us talking about it.
Literally, so funny. I wouldn't have even known it was Mel B's birthday otherwise. So thank you, Jerry and Pippa.
Thank you. So has it been edited or it's been pulled down?
It's been edited now, but people are saying because there was fraction apparently between Jerry and Mel B. Apparently, when they done this little reunion recently, they weren't talking, or there was kind of frosty air or whatever. So they're saying now she can't even do her own personalised post to her friend. This isn't going to look very good.
Did Mel comment on it?
No, she didn't. She's been very quiet. But it would have been very funny if she just like retweeted it or something.
Yeah,
it
that's like, how I would have responded if I was Mel.
And just done nice to see a personalised message from my bestie. Yeah, you
could
like
have. Yeah, you could have a play and a laugh with it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Would have been squashed. But anyway.
Nice that it's clearly not that deep. If there's been a frosty moment or a ding dong or whatever,
yeah,
it ain't that deep that she hasn't worried about not posting a happy birthday. Because you know what I mean? There's people out there, if you've had a row or you don't care for them, you ain't bothered if it's their birthday or not.
Exactly.
Let's have it right. So if you're sending it to your assistant, if Pippa's getting the message saying do this post, there's still a bit of love there.
I just want to know how long it takes Jerry to send that direction to her assistant, and then how long it would take her to actually just post it, because I feel like the latter would be quicker and easier for everyone.
Oh, hilarious. I think we've got time for one more, Miss Ellen.
Oh, my God. Okay. We're flying through them. So, Love Island has been embroiled in an ageism row.
Oh.
So, basically, people are saying that the Love Island photos aren't doing the cast members any justice. And to be honest, I do kind of agree. But I think it's because we've been conditioned to... filters and what people are presenting online as themselves to be true, but then the Love Island photographers are not editing the photos. So actually what they're saying is the contestants look way older in the photos. One person was only 21, and to be fair, she did look like she was like at least 29, 30. And the oldest person is 30, and he does look old. So there was older. He looks 35 or whatever. But I think like the Gen Z's look way older than they do because of makeup and everything, and they're all buff. And
I mean, I'm all for, especially a show like Love Island, I'm all for not airbrushing their pictures.
Yeah.
Because especially bearing in mind, and this is what I was finding, you're going onto a reality show when people are going to see you walking, like you're living in a villa.
Yeah.
You're not going to be on social media for the next few weeks or months.
Yeah.
So there's no point showing the world that these filtered or these edited photos, and then in 2 weeks' time seeing someone, because you're almost asking to be trolled. Like, not that anyone's ever asking to be trolled, but it just gives people something to hang on to. Do you know what I mean? So you might as well just put out as you are.
Yeah, you'd be setting them up to fail, like.
Exactly that.
But you know what I always find? Even though those photos aren't edited, I do still feel like when I see them without their makeup and, you know, well, less makeup, paired back, and just chilling by the pool and having chats, I always think they look way more attractive in that setting than like the studio lit photography kind of thing. But maybe it's just because they have loads of makeup and they've loads of hair done.
And I think also, and again, I've not seen all the contestants' photos, so this isn't to do with this Love Island topic, but just in general with, it's Gen Zs.
Gen Zs,
A younger generation, I think, in terms of our generation, I think I've definitely, and again, this isn't me shading anyone, because I'm all for body positivity. Do what you want to do to yourself. I mean, I've always been an open book about procedures I've had. I've had more filler than you could throw a truck at. I've had Botox shoved in me every 3 months. I'm full of Juvederm and Botox, and I took it all out. But I'm here for if you want to keep your filler, like, do you, boo, do you? But I think what I've definitely noticed is, and maybe I don't know if it's just because we're a couple of years older than Gen Z is.
Yeah.
But our age, I think when you started having tweakments done, I mean, I didn't have Botox until I was 24, 25 when I first started TOWIE, which some would consider still relatively young for Botox. I didn't have fillers for a while after that.
Yeah, that is really young.
Really young.
But it's preventative as well, right?
Yeah, Botox is preventative. And again, but it's all personal choice, isn't it? But I think where some people, and again, this isn't Love Islanders, so don't come for me, but some girls and boys start having fillers so young, 18, 19, that I actually think it goes the other way. And I've seen some people that have got so much filler that are young that look older than us.
And
because the cheeks, the lips, do you know what I mean? 100. So there's some people that are younger than us that actually look a lot older.
Yeah, and do you know who's a great example of that?
Oh, we're going there.
We're going there. Oh. Sorry to throw you under the bus, don't come for me. But Kylie Jenner, she's after paring it back. Have you noticed? She looks younger recently. So she had filler, she had a few other things now. I don't know, this is all allegedly. But she did look like she had all that work done. And now she's after paring back the makeup, she's after paring back the lips, paring back everything, and she looks her age now. But before, she looked older than Kim.
I think there's a very fine line, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And once you're in it, it's hard to stop because it's hard to see.
Oh, you don't see it. You become oblivious and you go, I'll have a topper, I'll have another meal with that, another meal with that. And the lip gets a little bit bigger and the cheeks get a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Been there, believe you me. Yeah. Tragic.
Yeah.
I saw the light and I'm back from it. But on that natural Norris now. But on the Love Island note, that takes me nicely. That's a lovely little segue. You would have thought that we planned this show. So today's Bobby on the Street was in honour of the new Love Island hitting our screens, I think, in a week or two.
Yes.
It's coming back to ITV, obviously.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask the lovely people of London Town, will you be watching the brand new series of Love Island? Before I throw to Bobby on the Street, Miss Ellen, will you be watching?
Well, I pondered over this. I do, as I do every year. And every year I say, no, absolutely not. Can't be bothered. But the thing is, I'm going to be seeing it online anyway the whole time. It's going to be flooding. My algorithm is going to be just feeding it to me constantly. I'm going to know all them by first names. I'm going to know what they've had for dinner. So I just feel like I may as well lean in. Especially in my industry, like showbiz, and here we'll be talking.
We're gonna be interviewing them.
They're probably gonna be here.
So it helps.
It will help to watch the show. So I feel like we have no choice, to be honest, Bobby.
Only funny to think that we don't even know some of these people yet, and in a few weeks' time, they're gonna be sat in these chairs here, and we're gonna be interviewing them about their experience.
Them as well.
It's a funny old machine, that Love Island. Anyway, here is Bobby on the Street. Let's go. Oh, I got a text. Guys, you might have heard that there's a brand new series of Love Island just around the corner. And I want to know, are you going to be watching this year's Sexy Singletons? Let's take to the streets of London Town to find out.
I am. I just watched All Stars. So, looking forward to what's to see next.
I don't know that I will. I loved it a few years ago, but I think I'm done. I think I'm finally off Love Island.
Yeah, bit of a fan. Mrs. likes it, so I'll watch it with the light, yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Have you ever been a fan, or it's just not a bit of you?
No, really, it's not my thing.
I will be watching the new series, yes.
Have you seen some of the leaked contestants for this year?
I have.
Yeah.
No, I'm not impressed.
I don't think so. I've not watched it for a few years, and I was just saying that I think the year that they did, like, Double Love Island kind of killed it off because there's no more anticipation anymore.
I probably won't be, but Farmer Will is my neighbour, and in the summer he runs around the village topless.
Oh, happy days. I bet you don't mind when the summer comes round, do you?
I might start running.
So that is what London Town had to say. So, as I say, brand new series coming soon. And, it just flies by.
It really
doesn't
does.
It?
Yeah.
It feels like it's always here. And I think because the weather's been a little bit cray-cray, it makes you forget that actually it is summertime. Today's quite nice. We've got the aircon on. But you'd be forgiven for forgetting it's summer.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. From Love Island to Britain's Got Talent, we have got the Britain's Got Talent legend, Tom Paul, joining us. How you doing, Tom? We're going to do a little trial and then we'll be joined by Tom Ball.
Access All Areas continues next. FUBAR Radio.
Hey! FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
Mark from Married at First Sight UK.
See, at the wedding, you told Sean you were 26, but you're actually 36.
Oh, yeah.
So drop in that decade. We ain't gone 1 or 2 years either side. What was going through your head when you thought, I'm going to shave off 10 years
at 26? A third of your life.
Yeah.
It was instant reaction. As soon as anyone says to me, how old are you? I'm like 26. I just stopped counting after 26. Would I have told him? Probably not.
No. Ever?
Well, maybe when we're 80 years old and we've got the grandkids running around. And
except
like,
you wouldn't be 80 years old. You'd be 98.
I'd be 26 still. I'd be going around the corner for some more injections.
Joining me now, the former leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, MP. And there you are stood with hundreds of thousands of people at Glastonbury singing, "Oh, Jeremy Corbyn." What is that like?
It was quite extraordinary. It was an amazing experience, and I was very pleased we did it. The office got very excited about Glastonbury. Every single person in the office thought it was necessary for them to be at Glastonbury.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
Every single one said it was really necessary for them to come. The
Dating Show. I'm friends with a fair few exes, and I think you can be friends with an ex, but I genuinely do. But I do think that it's timing is everything with that.
I think it depends what you cast as a friend.
Yeah,
are you talking about someone you're going to hang out with on your sofa? Like, if you've already shagged, isn't that a bit weird?
I think that's a different level of friend. I think that's a different level of friend. You can be friends with someone, but you can't be like best fucking friends with someone. I mean, I've got exes that I talk to about their current partners and whatever else, and they'll tell me about that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't say, oh, do you want to come over for fucking Chinese and chill on the sofa?
You're listening to Foodbar Radio.
Foodbar Radio.
Foodbar Radio.
Foodbar Radio.
And just in case you didn't get it from the trail, it's Foodbar Radio. And yes, we are live. It is Access All Areas. And as said before the top of that trail, we are joined by the lovely Tom Ball. How are we doing, Tom?
Hello.
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for joining us live on Access All Areas. It's a pleasure to have you, mate.
Thank you so much. The pleasure's mine.
How is everything going for you, mate? Crazy. You're a busy boy.
Yeah.
I'm very, very busy and I'm loving it. Every single moment, every single day is a new adventure, and that's just the way I like it.
Wow.
Love that. So, mate, I want to take it back to, because there's so much we want to talk to you about here, but obviously let's take it back to where it started from. BJT, how did it all come about for you? Had you been, was it a spare of the moment thing that you just thought, fuck it, I'm going to audition this one off? Had you auditioned for you? Like, what was your story? What's your history of Britain's Got Talent? And what got you there?
So I was a secondary school teacher at the time. And I was just about to start my new teaching post. I was changing schools to go to a much larger department. And I saw an advert online for BGT to submit a few videos and just see what happens. And it was the summer holidays, about 2 weeks before I started my new job. And I thought, why not? Let's just send in a video, see what happens. And I sent in that video in the morning. And then by, I think it was maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I had a producer on the phone to me saying, come down to London, let's see, let's have another chat. And so it happened really quickly, but it was completely spare of the moment.
Oh my God. And like, how, from that moment when you found out that you were going to be on the show and everything, how has that changed your life?
The show itself completely changed everything. I think I went in quite naively, not really knowing that how big a change it was going to be. But I walked down the street and people have a chat with me and know who I am, which is lovely, but no one prepares you for that at all. And so it was really quite a big change, and one that I've really welcomed now. And I'm so lucky to be able to perform and tour around the world and release music. But that all comes down to the fact, I was in that season of Britain's Got Talent.
And with social media, it's such a huge thing, isn't it? It's like it's a machine of its own, isn't it? Especially coming off the back of a huge show like BGT. How do you find social media? So many people, when you come from a reality show or a talent show, come up against, let's call them trolls. Let's just use a polite word, shall we? I could think of a few other words I'd like to call them, but I won't go there. What's your take on it and your situation. Do you ever get trolled? Have you ever had anything abusive and nasty?
The worst thing that happens all the time, and it happens all the time, is I every time I post, other people are commenting on my posts, pretending to be me. And it's really annoying because they're constantly doing it.
What?
And people are falling for whatever they're trying to sell them.
A worry, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I always ask my guests when they come on this show, I mean, you're a married man, but this don't stop some people. I always like to ask, it should be a segment on the show or a spin-off. I always like to ask what's going down in the DMs. So as we know, some people don't mind if there's a ring on that finger or not. Have you had a few cheeky people sliding them DMs? And I'm sure your other half ain't going to mind because you're a good man. You're only going to be honest. It doesn't mean you've responded to them. But
never respond.
have you had people, shall we say, be quite upcoming and up forward with some photographs?
Not photographs. I've been fortunate, I think. Not photographs. But definite people that maybe don't care about the ring on the finger.
Wow. Yes.
But those particular messages I do try to ignore and move aside.
And it's funny though, and even if someone knows you're in a relationship, they're like, sorry, I'm going to send a dick pic on my tits anyway.
Yeah, see what I get back.
How funny. So then fast forward, obviously huge success, BGT UK. You then go on to go over to America's Got Talent All Stars. Mm. How was that? Is that a completely different kettle of fish to BGT UK? Oh my God, all these letters.
I know.
I feel like Einstein here.
I'm getting confused.
No, it was completely different. I was fortunate to be one of the 60 acts that they invited from across the world.
Wow.
So they invited 60 acts from past winners, fan favourites. And for example, BGT, you're there for 2 days. In America, I ended up being in there for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Filming lots of bits. That was a week on, went home, got married, and then went back.
Oh, my God. What a whirlwind. That is insane. So are you known in America? Can you walk down the streets of LA without being stopped?
I would say I'm probably better well known in the UK than I am in America. Mm. America being so vast.
Yeah.
But yes, it's happened. It's happened a couple of times, but it's much more likely on public transport in the UK.
Right, because you got the golden buzzer as well on the American one, didn't you?
I did.
That's huge.
I was so lucky to get that golden buzzer.
Wow. And so you've been busy actually making a debut album, Curtain Call. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So the album Curtain Call has been in kind of production, I suppose, for about a year and a half, just over a year. And it was straight after America where we were like, okay, let's record an album. Let's see where this goes. So we were searching for a label, searching for publishers, and we were so lucky to find Westway, which is one of the UK's biggest West End labels.
Mm.
And they wanted to make an album for me. So it started off being almost a musical theatre album with maybe 2 original songs.
Mm.
And as time went on and as we continued to develop the album, it very quickly turned into a 50-50 split of original material and covers. And so I'm incredibly proud of it. And it only released on Friday, the 24th.
Amazing.
And I bet that's like a proper pinch me moment, isn't it? To think, gosh, take me back to 2022. You literally, randomly, one morning, see an advert, upload a couple of voters, a couple of videos of you singing. That afternoon, you're getting a call from a producer. Fast forward 2 years, you're going to the States, you're getting and now you're bringing out an album. And you're a bit like, shit, what's going on in 2 years?
I pinch myself most mornings, especially that morning on the 24th when I woke up to hundreds of messages. My album out on like all social media, on all streaming platforms. It was a real surreal moment, a moment like the emotion of it was similar to Britain's Got Talent. I felt very similar in that kind of overwhelmed support, kind of something big is happening. And that's kind of what happened on Friday.
And what's your favourite song on the album? Is there any like particular sentimental song or one that's your baby?
Yeah.
Yeah? What is it?
Yeah. My favourite song, I think, changes every single time I listen to it, every single day. Mm. But in terms of sentimental song, there is one song on that album that probably took the longest to get right. Mm. And that's no one else. That is purely me and the vocals. I think I re-recorded it about 3-4 times in total because I was like, no, it's not good enough, I can do better. And that's Bring Him Home from Les Mis.
Oh wow, that's a chain. Big one. That is big.
Love that.
Yeah, I love that.
If you're ever looking for someone to collab with down the line, I don't know if you know Tom, but they call me the Essex Adele.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
As I say, Adele, I mean, she's a little bit worried when I sing, I ain't going to lie.
Yeah, you give her tips, don't you?
I mean, it's uncanny. We could swap heads. Yeah. When I sing, they're like, fuck, is it Adele? Is it Bobby? No one knows. No, joking. I love Adele, and I don't hold a candle to Adele. I don't think many people do. But, Tom, so this year, currently, we are in the middle of the semis, BGD, by the way, just in case anyone's tuned in, we're not just talking about semis here. So we've got BGD semi, just conscious in case someone's just switched over. What advice would you give to this year's semi-finalists? Because, again, life's changing for them. I guess there's one thing when you're doing your auditions, you have that huge moment, I'm guessing, the Palladium or whatever your venue is that you auditioned goes crazy. You get this response, but it's pre-recorded. So these people, you go back to your normal life and then it goes to live shows and then shit gets real.
Yeah, yeah. Really quickly.
Yeah.
My advice, I've got two bits of advice. One for like this week, because obviously the semi-finals and the finals are this week.
Yeah.
And my advice, if to anyone competing is, take every single moment and recognize how far you've come. Thousands of people audition every single year and you've made it to the semi-final, which is a massive achievement. And so taking those moments when you're standing on stage, when the audience are applauding for you, take them in, enjoy them, because it's so easy to forget to do that. Second bit of advice, when you leave and let's say you make it to the final, semi-final, whatever it is, don't expect anyone to call you. Go out there and get it and use that opportunity BGT's given you.
Yeah, yeah. And did you take your own advice while you were on the show?
No. For Britain's Got Talent, I didn't. The only bit of advice that I did do was I didn't wait for people to call me. I really tried to find opportunities, take every opportunity I could.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of lucky breaks, which really led to where we are now. But for AGT, I definitely took that advice and I remember standing on stage for each of those moments and just going, here we are, this is amazing, take it in, take a mental image.
So Tom, obviously you came third back in 2022. So tell me, so you get to the final of that series, come third, amazing. Like, do you then that night, did you go back to a hotel? Did you do press after the show? Is there like a big party? Talk me through that. So the show ends, you get first, second, first. Is there a party? I'm sure there's plenty of champagne flowing. Warm Prosecco at a lot of these events. But anyway, there's a few drinks flowing. Then do you go back to an hotel? What's the situation?
So the final is a really weird one. I left the final and I just walked down the street of London with my family.
Really?
Like I just walked down and that was it. It was cold night and I went to a hotel where lots of other acts were staying and nothing was arranged. No after party, but we walked in and I saw everyone at the bar. And so we sat down and had a drink.
Nice.
And that was the night. And the next morning we went home.
Oh my God. Oh, that is too normal for me. If that was me, I'd be like, where's the entourage? Where are the fireworks? Where's the razzle dazzle?
Talk me through that moment quickly, Tom. I'm so sorry. Literally got time to squeeze in this last question. But so you go back to the hotel, you see all the contestants at the bar, you're all cheering like each other on, you've had this amazing experience together, you've all done so well. And I know it's so cliche, but literally, whether people got to the finals, the semis, wherever you came in that process, you've all done amazing because tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people audition and apply. So to get to that point, is beyond incredible. But talk to me, you get in the lift, unless you was on the ground floor, but I'm guessing you weren't. Not many ground floor hotels in London. But you get in the lift, you go to bed. I'm setting the scene here.
He set me, yeah.
And then you open your eyes the next morning. What goes through your head at that point? You'd be like, what's happened?
Yeah. You don't quite believe it. I think the first thing I did is I opened up YouTube and I rewatched the final.
Oh my God.
That was the first thing I did because I don't think I fully believed it. I struggled to get to sleep anyway because my brain was going so fast, the adrenaline was so high. But I remember waking up in the morning and going, I'm going to watch that final one more time, or for the first time, and just relive it for a moment. And then I got in my car and went home.
Yeah.
Oh my Amazing. God, that's insane.
And can't let you go, Tom, without asking about the judges, because they're all icons, absolute legends. Let's start with the governor himself, Simon Cowell. What was he like?
You know what? Simon is absolutely lovely. I'm very, very lucky he's been such a big champion of mine. You know, Simon invited me out to America. The reason I went out to America's Got Talent All Stars was because Simon requested that I went out, which is, you know, a massive vote of confidence from Simon. Mm-hmm. And he's a really lovely guy. I really respect his opinion.
Mm. I've got a bit of a crush on Simon Cowell. Yeah. I've had for years.
Yeah, I've gone off him and on him and off him, and now I'm kind of back on him.
Yeah, yeah. We'll share.
Will we?
I know he's got a lovely. he's got a lovely fiance, but no, he's lovely. Alicia, lover. What? How did you find her?
Yeah, lovely. Really positive. The limited interaction I had with Alicia, because most of the time it is just what you see on TV of us talking that far apart. With Simon, slightly different. I've seen him quite a few times.
Yeah.
But Alicia was lovely, and same for Amanda. Just both really positive people. Smiled at you when you were standing on stage without the cameras, and just kind of gave you a little thumbs up, a little wave, just to make you feel relaxed and included.
Oh, that's nice.
Is it weird watching this series back? Because it kind of must be a little bit. When that's been your reality, and also I'm always intrigued, especially when you've done a TV show and you step away from it or your series ends. For people, like, to watch it back, it must be strange because you know the behind the scenes, you know what goes into it. Do you thought, can you watch it still as a punter or not so much now?
No, I struggle to watch it now because I know.
Yeah.
About not that there's anything mysterious happening, but because I've been behind there and I know the runners doing it and I know the vocal coaches and the producers, I sit there and I go, oh, I wonder what they're doing. And it is so much harder to get engrossed and get surrounded in that world because I know that most of those acts have been sitting there for hours and you suddenly see behind the curtain, and so it's harder to enjoy the entertainment.
The
program.
Magic, exactly. Yeah. And some people say that Britain's Got Talent has had its day because it was huge back in the day, and now it's kind of had a little revival, but it's been around for so long. But what do you say to those people?
I think all the time the UK's got talent, and we've always got an abundance of talent. I think Britain's Got Talent has a place on the TV. Maybe we need to shake it up a little bit, change the format, anything like that. But I think it gives a wonderful opportunity to thousands of people every single year, or hundreds of people every single year. Mm-hmm. And that can only be a positive thing.
So true.
Do you want me to sing a little bit for you?
Go for it. He's dying to.
What's your fault? So let's give you a bit of a deal, Tom.
Go on, Bobby.
Are you giving me the golden buzzer?
I'll do it.
Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. What's your thoughts, Tom?
Well done.
Woo! Yeah! Love it!
That was insane.
Watch out next year. I'm coming.
Next year.
Now, let's listen to someone that can really sing. Firstly, Tom, thank you so much for being such a lovely gent, for joining me and Ellen on Access All Areas. It's been an absolute pleasure. But we're going to play a nice little clip of your single, The Best Part.
Thank you very much.
Guys, so here we go. And quickly, just before I throw to the track, where can people follow you on socials? Give us the lowdown, the 411.
411. So on all social media, it's Tom Ball Official, and my website is officialtomball.com.
Easy.
Perfect. Thank you. Cheers,
Tom.
Guys, here we go. Here's Tom, the best part.
You're the party when the moon is out, and then the quiet in the storm. When we wave goodbye, I can see all those feelings underneath, and I miss you before I'm even gone. You can
Access All Areas continues next. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents What the
Health with Gabby Allen. Joining me now is Millie Gooch, author and founder of Sober Girl Sobriety Society. I need to know what is so bad about dating sober.
I think it's just terrifying when it's something that you're not used to, because when I was drinking and dating, you know, like, you use it to calm your nerves, you use it for confidence, you rely on it. And I think that's the one thing I realised when I stopped drinking, is how much I really relied on alcohol. I was always kind of saying, you know, like, oh, I'm not dependent on it, but for my confidence I was really. But I also think there's so many benefits to it. Like, I used to go on so many dates when I was drinking, I'd be like, they are the one, and then I'd meet them a few weeks later sober and I'd be like, we've got nothing in common. What was going through my mind? I'd be like, oh, it was because I was drunk.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
Harpreet, how are you, my love?
I'm great, thank you. How are you? It looks fun in there.
I want to talk about this because obviously you met your partner on The Apprentice. When did you start to get that feeling, I'm into him and this is more than just a banter or a friendship? Because it's a close environment being on a show like that, isn't it?
I really wish I could sit here and give loads of juicy gossip. Actually, we used to secretly meet in the laundry room on the show, but we didn't. And when I actually last spoke with yourselves, I think it was right after I'd won, we weren't even flirting, never mind dating. First time that I thought I actually fancied him was when I watched him on TV and I watched episode one.
How funny.
Hang on. You know, he's actually really good looking.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
And joining me in the studio, we have Deputy Leader of the Green Party, Zach Polanski. Zach, thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping, Zach?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
So you're hoping for four MPs in the general. You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's absolutely the minimum at what we're
I don't want to be Piers Morgan here, but will you take out, I don't have £1,000, will you take a £100 bet with me that you'll get four MPs?
Well, I do everything in politics to talk about the harms of gambling, so for me to place a bet on there would be pretty,
you know,
pretty horrendous.
Before we had you on, we discussed with the producers as to whether I should do the bet joke, and I said I would, because I had every faith that you would answer it in the way I expect a politician of any moral standing.
We should also talk about cryptocurrency, which also is very problematic.
Rishi, if you're listening, mate, that's how you answer a betting question.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. Guys, live on FUBAR Radio. Access All Areas. Now, to close off the show, been a lovely show.
Yeah,
had a great
so
time. As always, lovely chat there with Tom. Now, we've got a little game to end on a high. And this is basically called... Well, it ain't really called anything. It's just been made up by our producer, yes. But basically, it's did they become famous from X Factor or BGT? Not a catchy name, but we'll work on it.
For next week.
But the first name is James Arthur. I'm locking mine in X Factor.
X Factor, yeah, 100%.
We're both correct. We've locked that in.
Go team, go.
Suzanne Boyle, BGT locking in.
No, X Factor, I think.
You locking in?
Locking in X Factor.
Yeah. I'm locking in BGT.
What's ever happened to her?
Britain's Got Talent.
Oh my God, you know your stuff.
Oh, I know. Am I a shizzer?
This was peak Britain's Got Talent as well, because she was huge.
Okay, iconic.
Yeah.
Little Mix, X Factor, locked in.
X Factor, yeah, locked in. I'm just going to follow you.
Correct. Bars and Melody. Oh.
Melody.
BGT, locked in.
I'm going to say X Factor, but one of the seasons that was boring.
VG2. Are you keeping score here, Yaz? Perfect.
I'm pretty sure you're winning, Bobby. Like every week.
Megan McKenna, BGT, looking
Megan
in.
Megan McKenna. Yeah, Britain's Got Talent, for sure.
We're both right.
Yep.
Cher Lloyd, X Factor, locking in.
X Factor, yeah, locking in. I'm just copying what you're doing now. But I would have said X Factor.
Ollie Mers.
Let me say first.
Oh, you go first.
X Factor.
X Factor, locking in.
X Factor, yeah.
Like this game. We're good at this one. We're almost as good as the football one we did, which was shocking. Paul Potts.
He was Britain's Got Talent.
BGT locking in. I believe the first ever winner, Series 1.
Wow, was
I
he?
Believe so. I believe he worked at Carphone Warehouse.
Wait, was he a singer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he Carphone, was.
Yeah. Locked
what
in.
What he's doing now. I'd love to know.
We should
do a segment. Where are they now?
Where are they now? Fleur East.
Fleur was X Factor.
X Factor locking in.
Yeah. Was we right?
And that was the last one.
Well, we flew through that.
Absolutely flew through. That was a great little game. Oh, nice show, Miss Ellen.
Yeah, I loved it.
Really, really nice. Well, thank you, guys. You know, we love you. And great show as always. We will be back same time next week. Access All Areas, live on Foodbar Radio. Until then, stay safe and we will see you next week. Take care.